morning's scripture reading comes to us from Acts 2, 34 through 41. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all of you far off, all of whom the Lord God will call." With many other words, he warned us and then pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 more were added to the number that day. Here ends the reading of this word.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. Next thing that I'm going to have you do, it may be kind of tough for some of you to do this. It's not going to be something you normally do on a Sunday, especially during the beginning of a worship service. But others of you, it might be really easy, and maybe too easy for some. But I want to just take a moment as you look to your right and to your left, in the name of Jesus, tell that person that you love them. Okay? Love you. Love you. Thank you. Don't you feel better already? You're already so much more relaxed. You're laughing. It's not funny, is it? It's serious. You meant that you do love. You love that person. You love those that you gather with. You know, we're experiencing an extended long weekend, a holiday weekend, extra days off work, extra days off school. And as a parent, I call it a mixed blessing of parenthood. You know, and if you've had this experience, I'm sure many of you had. If you had it this weekend, when I get done, you raise your hand, say, "Yeah, I've just been there, done that." But you wake up and you detect the smell of burnt toast. You hear all kinds of banging, clanging of silverware and pots and pans in the kitchen. And you're just getting up real slow and slowly making your way to the kitchen, peeking around the corner, just wondering what you're going to see next. And then there's your child or your children preparing that special breakfast. The special breakfast. The holiday breakfast. A simple and sweet gesture. It touches your heart long before it touches your stomach, right? The child's labor of love will touch your stomach soon enough. With a menu like this. Eggs with some eggshells. Pancakes charred on the outside, but yet somehow still gooey in the middle. The waffles are topped with gummy bears, and the rainbow sprinkles and soy sauce, because it was supposed to be chocolate syrup. But then the muffins, they're coated in salt instead of sugar. But sugar was intended. And then the moment of truth. An opportunity for you to respond to such a meal. You take the big bite, and you swallow, and you smile, and you proclaim how good everything turned out. There was truth there. It was good, and it was a wonderful act of love, right? An act of love. Just not that edible. Just not that edible. You know, Christians, church, we have this such a huge responsibility. And with great responsibility comes a great need for discernment. Discernment to know the when and to know the how to offer hope to this world in which we live. A hope to the world, a hope to each other, a hope to our children. Offering hope instead of criticism. Offering words of greeting instead of words of jabs and pokes. You know, learning to cook, learning to pray, learning to be anything in life, learning to be a member of God's family, learning how to be the church, for heaven's sakes. All of it takes practice, and it all takes some redos and start agains. It takes time, it takes trust, and it takes a safe place where you feel welcome and a place where you can feel that you can develop, a place where you can grow into being that chef or that teacher or that preacher or whatever it is that you're growing in to be. Whatever that job is, it begins with lessons. It begins with sessions. It begins with recipes that are basic and small and may seem everyday. But what do? Those lessons, those sessions, they build confidence, and it's a place for growth to begin. A place for growth to begin. So we need to remember and we need to take time once in a while to ask ourselves as a church, are we really ready for this? Are we really doing this? Making this a place for not just people to gather and show up, but a place for them to grow in who they are and who Christ has created them to be and grow in what Christ has equipped them to use as their gifts and talents. Are we really ready to spread that type of hope and encouragement to everyone and to each other? Are we really ready to embrace, and I mean not just the welcome at the door, but I mean the embracing of one another the days and weeks after that visitor becomes a regular attender, long after they become a member? Are we ready to go that next step of ministry? Helping them in their spiritual walk, giving them hope, giving them encouragement. Are we ready to hug and hold the hands of those who are hurt and sad and in need? Those that are not like us. Those who are different. Those that we may not even know even exist in the community, but all of a sudden they show up. Church, can we have that type of vision? Can that be our desire as the body of Christ? Abraham Lincoln, he had that type of desire, vision, and hope for this country. He did. 200 years after that first Thanksgiving, March 4th, 1961, he gave his first inaugural speech. And he talked about something like better angels. You may not have heard much about that first speech, because we know the second speech, that famous, replete with soaring phrases that roar like this, when I quote, "with malice towards none, with charity towards all," end quote. Sounds like you should have been preaching, doesn't it? What did he say? With malice towards none, with charity towards all. But yet, that first inaugural speech that Abraham Lincoln gave, it still had great meaning and great purpose, and it was very important. And why? Imagine this, the country divided. The country was divided, for heaven's sakes. The united part of the United States was barely hanging on by a thread. Wow. Newsflash, right? Abraham Lincoln could have recited a laundry list of the evils that needed to be addressed. He could have demanded immediate actions that should be taken. But Abraham Lincoln, instead, he appealed to the common bonds of affection that the American people shared and still needed. It was these bonds that Lincoln hoped Yes, he hoped, and I will quote again, will yet swell the chorus of the Union, which again touched, as surely they will be by the better angels of nature. He hoped for unity and people to come together. He hoped that the goodness from within them would swell up and overflow. Amazing and powerful message. A quote from one man, one individual, to a country of men and women of all ages, shapes and sizes, that the better of them, the better angels of nature would arise and come forth and come together. Do you hope and believe in better moments? That there is better and the best yet to come? Do you believe that when men and women and children give their hearts and lives to God, that they will become new and better people in the name of Jesus? Do you even believe what you've heard in Acts chapter 2? We took a pop quiz. Most of us probably couldn't remember what Dale just read. But we'll talk about it now. There in the Word of God, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Apostle Peter, he's there. He says, repent and be baptized. When you repent, and when you begin to reject the old ways, your old attitudes, your old opinions, yes, those things of yourself, when you begin to repent, you begin to reject those things of what made you of this world. Those worldly ways, those old ways, they must change. They must become in line with who Christ is, with what Christ says, and what God's Word teaches. Those old opinions and ideas and worldly theology, if those don't change, it's just going to be a stumbling block. You're just going to stumble around, stumble in church, stumble out of church, stumble through life, stumble through work, stumble through parenthood, stumble through everything. Your hope is what we're focused on. Your hope will be restricted because you're stumbling around because everything hasn't been given to Jesus. Not everything has been surrendered, so you're stumbling around over all this old junk. And the hope is restricted. There in that day, as we read there in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was upon Peter. The Holy Spirit wrapped around all the people that were there. The Holy Spirit filled their hearts. As it says in verse 36, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Saying, you did this, you crucified him, you killed him, but yet God made him Lord and Messiah. It's God's plan. You try to kill him, you can't change that plan. He's still going to be Lord and Messiah. The people, what happened to them there in verse 37, the people were touched, cut to their heart. Their physical and spiritual eyes were open. They get this all of a sudden new understanding of why they've been stumbling around their whole life and not getting anywhere and discouraged down and out, wondering why they can't get any hope, a good hope. And what do they say? What shall we do? Peter, what shall we do? They said, what shall we do? Did you hear them? That's what they said. And Peter says, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. He just didn't say head of household. He didn't say moms or dads. He said, every one of you. Everyone, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And then what? And there's still another part. What is it? What's it say? Anyone? Are you looking at it? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized and receive. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for you. As it says in verse 39, the promise was for their children, for all of them, their children, and their children, and their children, for all generations yet to be born and yet to live. This was going to be for them. Hope for everyone. Hope for every situation. Hope for every country. Hope for the whole wide world. And it comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Amen. Peter, as any great teacher, as any pastor should do, he warns the people. He says, be saved. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, be saved, and then watch out. Watch out. Watch out for the corrupt. Watch out for the deceitful. Watch out for the evil. Watch out for the devil in sheep's clothing. He says, watch out. Because not everybody's going to take on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There was more than 3,000 people there that day. Only 3,000 were baptized and saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's awesome. But there are still the naysayers. Apostle Paul talks a little more about it. You look back in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, 28 through 30. He speaks directly to this, protect the flock because there are savage wolves who are among you. And verse 30, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples. So sad. So sad that we live in a world like that that still happens today. It's happening all around us. It's happening in every church, every denomination, every family. It's everywhere. That's how active the enemy is. Satan is doing this, and he's having fun. This is fun for him, to have men arise and distort the truth in order to take away disciples. But the warning has been given. But greater than the warning, greater than the concern, is the hope and joy of the Lord, because he is all-powerful, he's all-loving, he's all-encouraging. Yes, there was 3,000 people on that day. They recognized the need. Those 3,000 people also recognized the answer. The answer. The need and the answer. The need for forgiveness, need for salvation, and that there was hope in the answer, and his name was Jesus. You have that message. You have that information, and you live in a world that needs it. A world that needs that hope of Jesus as Savior. Can you imagine hundreds of people, wherever they were, rushing in to that body of water, being baptized, had the opportunity to do a baptism in a swimming pool. I don't know, Greg, can we get 100 people in your swimming pool and baptize them at one time, you think? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? But we'd take the time to do it. We'd get them all baptized, but 3,000 people, hundreds of people being baptized in that moment. As I travel the roads, travel up 77 and Route 30, there are many billboards. Many billboards. My guess would be there are probably less billboards today than what there might have been back in the day. But they are still used today. There's still advertisement, you know, advertise here, and those type of things. Messages are all different. They're different sizes, different things. I have a couple I want to show you today, coming up. Here's one I took on my travels returning home. This was on the west side of Mansfield. What do we have? We have a roofing, siding company, construction company, saying excellence in exteriors. And of course, we got to have our food advertisements. big, juicy cheeseburger, about 50 different toppings on it, so the bun doesn't even ever touch the meat, you know, and you really can't take a bite of that. You got to take smaller bites just to get to it all. But we have our food. And then we got another slide here, another advertisement, billboard. One of my favorites, you know, a car advertisement. And you can't tell this is an afternoon, but those headlights on the car, the lights are on. They built the billboard and they put the lights right where the headlights are. So you know as it gets dark and through the night, those lights are on. Those lights are on all day long. And as you think about those lights being on, and as it gets dark, the lights are still on, but what happens? The billboard becomes more noticeable. You might not see it so much in the afternoon unless you're looking for it and trying to drive and take a picture at the same time. You know, that's why it's a little crooked there. But, you know, I took about, I don't know, 10 pictures as I'm driving and getting closer, and then, of course, I got the closest one and just expanded it a little bit as well so you could see it. But think about that. These billboards. Church, we have an opportunity right now, this day and age, to do what? To be a billboard for Jesus. We're a billboard when we leave this building. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we are a billboard for Jesus. And what's our billboard say? Does it say there is hope and light? Or are we just kicking and dragging our feet? That's another day. And same old you know what. We have an opportunity to get out into this community, a community that is in need of hope, a community that needs light, and we can be that billboard. A billboard of hope, a billboard of light, a billboard of love. Another picture here. Old-fashioned picture, but yet still same message. Sharing your light. From one candle to the next. From one relationship to the next, from one heart to another heart, from one family to another family, one church to another church, one community to another church, sharing the light and hope of Jesus. We have this opportunity to do these things because the world still needs hope, right? Because why? Check out the next slide. Check that out. There's still babies that are going to be born. There's still people that's going to need this message. They're going to have parents that need encouragement. They're going to have parents with needs and support systems. Babies yet to be born. Christ hasn't come back yet. We don't know when he's coming, but things will continue to go as they always have. Kids will grow up, they find a spouse, they get married, they have babies, they got to become parents, if they want to or not, and they got to take care of these little guys. And they need hope. They're going to need a church. They need the gospel message. So I pray that we can go forth into this Advent season with a different approach to our excitement. Approach to use our gifts and resources and our talents to be the best billboard we can be for Jesus Christ. Amen? We should want to be the best we can be for Jesus. And it might not mean that we're wearing a billboard on us, so that sandwich board, one on front, one on the back, we've seen those. There's people out there that do that. But guess what? For Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you with Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the love of Christ in you, and the hope of Christ in you as well. You get out there and just be you. You don't have to look to find someone to minister to. God will bring them to you. You don't have to put it in your schedule. Oh, 1 o'clock tomorrow, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. It will just come if you are willing and receptive. Just you being you for Jesus Christ. heard a testimony this week. Young lady that I know needed a crown, and as she went to the dentist's office on Black Friday, she'd been there a couple months ago, and they said you needed a crown, and of course, you know, we don't have that type of insurance coverage, so you pay for it yourself. And they said, we'd run Black Friday specials on crowns. Instead of $1,400, you can get it for $700 on Good Friday. And she said, sign me up. Sign me up. So as she showed up there Friday morning, 8 o'clock, to get that crown, she goes back and gets prepped. And the young 30-year-old lady is taking care of her. Just says, how long have you been married? And she's like, 26 years. And this lady just breaks down and pours out her heart and pours out the tears and saying, I've been married 10 years. My husband has cheated on me. He's cheated on me again. We now have divorce. Is there true love in this world, she asked. Is there true love still yet to be found in this world? And there this young lady is after she gets her crown and gets everything out of her mouth so she can talk. And she said, yes. There's still love in this world. And they went on to talk about those things. And as the young lady, the dentist, talked, worked, the young lady encouraged her by saying, it's a heart issue, and it's not yours. You wanted to be married. You wanted a family. You wanted everlasting love and commitment. It was a heart issue on his end. You can't beat yourself up and blame yourself for something that over here is taking place that only thing you did was love and care for and committed your life for. They chose to do other things. Remind you, this person is just showing up for a crown on Black Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning. Didn't wake up in the morning, ask for a ministry opportunity, but just being there, just going through everyday life, going to the dentist. There's Jesus. He opened that lady up. He opened her heart out. She cried out because she's looking for hope, and she's looking for love, and she's looking for somebody that would hear her and just wouldn't send her on down the road like the world does. Somebody that would truly hear, listen, and give encouraging words of true hope and love. Those opportunities are before you. I hope that you would pray to have eyes to see them, because they'll come when you least expect it. They will come, but the Holy Spirit will give you every word you need to say. The Holy Spirit will give you every thought that you need, every intention of saying the right thing. It will come. It will come if you are first filled with the hope and love of Jesus. You don't have to schedule it. You don't even have to make it happen. You just be you, being you in the name of Jesus. That is our challenge I present for us as a church this season of Advent. Which means I want to hear about how it's going for you. This week, so when one of these things happens to you, I want to hear about it. I want to give you opportunity to share with the congregation a God moment. And I hope that we could have one every Sunday here through Advent. If we have more than one, that's great too. But they're out there. They're out there. And Jesus wants to use you. You can believe it or not. If you just get filled up on the Jesus that you need in here, he's going to use you to take care of somebody else in the need of hope, peace, joy, love, whatever the situation. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that we can go forth today encouraged with the resources and the gifts that you have already given us. You've given us everything that we need as with Christ being our Lord and Savior so that we can go forth and we can be the best. We can be the very best billboard possible in the name of Jesus just by being ourselves. in the name of Jesus. So Lord, give the world to see that billboard. And we will trust that when they speak, when they ask questions, when they begin to pour our hearts out to us, we may realize, oh man, I hadn't woke up prepared for this. But we realize we are prepared. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And because he's coming again, this person needs this encouragement of hope, love, joy, and peace. So Lord, have your way with us. Continue that holy work. And I pray that we will be that billboard that this world needs us to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to close this with our service today with the closing song, This Little Light of Mine. Jody has the tune that we know. You can follow along in the hymnals. It's not the tune that we know, but we have the words. So let's just sing it as we know it, and they will play it for us.